You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Leslie said, Christian looks like the diversity hire at a Williamsburg brewery.
Camilo Garcia says, looks like a stock photo community colleges use. 100%.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Silhouettes Rock said, Christian is El Vato de Park Ridge. He went out Mexican, bro. But I love you just like straight stepping down the
Let's
street.
Let's go, bro.
Yeah. Making your Mazda bounce,
Doing
bro.
Doing the cholo.
Yeah, lean like a cholo.
Lean like a cholo. A classic.
Nah, fool. Yo, let me, where do you have the avocados, fool? At the supermarket? Yo, your kale selection looks magnificent, fool.
These ain't right, fool. Get these out of my face.
No, bro. I said plátanos, fool. Get these bananas out of here.
Okay. A lot to go over today. Again, happy new year to everybody. A quick reminder, if you're not on our Patreon, you're messing up. You're messing up.
You're not just messing up, you're missing out.
Correct. Okay. Because obviously the news about Gio Reyna, Greg Berhalter, the whole drama.
We did a full breakdown.
Right, because on Tuesday, we do our show on Mondays. We record our show Mondays and Tuesdays. But on Tuesday, shout out to Andrew Johnson, who with the buzzer beater right before
Bro,
we were about to wrap up.
Speaking of Gareth Bale, in the last second comes through.
He says, yo, check out Greg Berhalter's statement. It happened literally within 3 minutes of it, the statement dropping. And we heard about all the news about.
We chatted about it on the show, but we didn't get to break it down.
Because we didn't know all the details.
No, and also all the speculation turned out to be true. Like all this stuff in our chat, 100% turned out to be true. So now we had to run. We had to go run and get this thing out.
Exactly. So after all of that happened, we made an episode, a No Cap Recap on Patreon, about the whole Gio Reyna, Berhalter, the whole Berhalter and Reyna family feud.
Had to beat a family?
Blamley.
The family?
It was wild. So if you, we wanted to get that out as soon as possible. The only opportunity to do that was on Patreon. So
that's right.
patreon.com/soccercooligans. Get in there because honestly, it's a dope episode. It's pretty wild.
What would we do without Gully Squad, huh?
What would we do?
You know what? We would have recorded that episode and then just listened back to it ourselves. How good is that?
I do that from time to time.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody died. Just outside.
Some drama. All right. Where to begin today? Let's start with.
We've got so much. But I guess the question on hand is Gareth Bale.
Gareth
Bale.
Just a couple minutes ago, really. He announces that he is done with football. He is retiring. He basically dunks on the Philadelphia Union,
right.
Scores on the U.S. men's national team, and he's like,
peace.
I'm out of here.
Also, Real Madrid fans are like, wait, didn't you retire years ago?
But no, here it is. He put out a lengthy statement. And
here, I'll read the first line. He says, after careful and thoughtful consideration in between holes at the golf course, I announced my media retirement from Club International Football, which, I mean, we don't have to read the whole thing. But look, most people would sit here and say he had a storied career, right?
Sure.
He won pretty much everything you could win as a club player. You know what I mean? Not an international, but with club.
Right. I mean, not everything.
Everything, but pretty much. I mean, He won
La Liga.
He won Premier League. He won Copa del Rey. He won Premier League, Champions League multiple times.
He did not win Premier League.
He did not, definitely not.
You know who he played for.
Yeah, he played for Tottenham, which at the end, I mean, that's winning with Tottenham is to not win the league. That is their tradition, right?
Sure.
But could his career have been better? And really, should his career have been better? Because when you look at it, He was wildly successful. Some would say a product of being on successful teams, right?
Without a doubt.
With Real Madrid.
He was on the bench for a lot of those.
But that's the point, right? Yeah. Is there anything else? Maybe it's his return to Tottenham, which didn't go well. Could that have been? Should we rate his career as a missed opportunity, or should we sit back and say, yo, this guy pretty much won everything you could possibly win? With all due respect, I mean, you'd have to be Superman to win with Tottenham. Or should we say, like, yo, there's pieces missing here, and we should judge him for the way that his career ended?
I think the criticism that he's had has very much happened throughout his career. Could his footballing career have been better? Yes, but as a, if you had, if somebody told you, hey, you're going to be a professional athlete, you're going to make absolutely millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. We're not even asking you to play that much. I mean, as a businessman,
physically might be the only way I can agree to this to this deal.
That's a pretty incredible situation to be in, where like just contractually they can't get rid of you and they don't want you to play.
Okay, but see, what you're talking about is what I would love to do, which is finesse the game.
Right.
Find a way to make a lot of money without having to do anything. Wonderful. If you're looking at him as a player, right, and you're saying he's an exceptional player, he's an incredible player, he's a player with lots of talent, I would love to see a player like this flourish and we could see the beautiful sport, see what the most he could possibly accomplish. He didn't get to do that. So do we hold that against him? I personally think because of that missed opportunity, look, me being me, I say, hey, that's a career I would love, right? You play a little bit up front, you know what I mean? You prove your worth, you get the big bag, and then you sit there and you bite your nails. You know what I mean? You play a little golf whenever you want, and then you keep getting paid because they can't get rid of you. But really, when you want to see them, like if Lionel Messi had sat at Barcelona this whole time and didn't win, the World Cup, not that Gareth Bale had a chance to, didn't succeed towards the end of his career, would we not have looked at it as a missed opportunity to not see what he could have done towards the end of his career?
I mean, I really think the audacity you have to mention Gareth Bale's name in the same breath as Leo Messi is absolute insanity. I don't know what standard you're holding Gareth Bale to at all. He is like most other players. He is arguably the greatest Welsh player that's ever lived.
Right.
I feel comfortable saying that.
Because some would say Gaza would be, but I would say, was he the best Tottenham player? No, can't say that.
No, you can't say that. Harry Kane is the best ever Tottenham player.
Some people would say Paul Gascoigne.
Okay, well, sure. People who are wrong, I guess.
Yeah. I just want you to like throw an axe over your shoulder and walk out. Like, okay, well, he's gone. Where'd he go?
Look, Gareth Bale got the criticism that you're making now. He was getting while he was an active player at Real Madrid.
Which is what I'm saying. Now that his career is over. Because, look, yeah, he came back and won MLS Cup. Absolutely incredible.
You know, Messi never did.
Yeah, huh?
Messi never won MLS Cup.
No, I mean, not yet. Coming to Miami, maybe. At 40 years old. And yes, those scenes were incredible. He comes in, scores the equalizer, gets them into, gives them a chance to extend the game. Mm-hmm. They end up winning, right? Philadelphia Union, probably not too happy about it. And their fans, I can already see them going chitty-chatty in here. But if you looked at a player of his ilk and said, you want to see the most they could possibly do. He was an exceptional player. He wasn't just speed. He showed that, I think, a little bit at LAFC. You kind of want to see what he could do towards those latter years.
Yeah, he's only 33.
Yeah, at those latter years at Real Madrid. And for someone like him to sit on the bench almost willingly, you know, not fight, to not see some passion for him to want to go to another club or get out, to him just be like, whatever. Even the jokes of like, what was it, Wales, Golf, Madrid. And for them to hold up the flag and for him to be like, oh, you know, a willing, part of these jokes, doesn't it kind of leave a little bit of a sour end to his career?
It's subjective, but the last 6-7 years of Gareth Bale's career have been, you know, there's no sour. Those have been sour. It's just been like,
which is what I'm saying. Yeah. Because it ended that way. Does it? Leave a stain on
whether
his career?
I fully expected him to continue playing, and I still would have felt the same exact way of like, oh, a lot of missed opportunities, missed potential, and you don't know why he didn't, you know, I don't know exactly why he didn't play with Real Madrid. He was seemingly healthy. They clearly, maybe they
I
just...
I think the rumor is that he didn't give a fuck anymore.
Sure, but I don't want to just lean on that because we know a billion stories of, like, teams putting stuff out in the media to make a player look bad so that they kind of can negotiate out of their contract or... They Real Madrid, it was their fault. They paid him a whole ton of money. They expected a whole lot out of him. For maybe a different manager came in and they Zidane, right, didn't really favor him. Yeah. And he was just like, all right, well, Gareth Bale's like, well, I'm not going to take less money.
Gareth Bale pulled a Dele Alli.
Right, right. Well, he's just like, okay, well, this is what my contract says. I'm here. I'm available to you if you need me to play. If you don't want me to play, if you don't like me as a player, well, that's on you. I'll sit on the bench, collect my paycheck. And
would you be happy with that?
Happy as a player?
Like, let's say, funny bone. They have 27 clubs across the country. They sign you to a 5-year contract, right? And then they decide they're not getting enough out of you, right? Or maybe you're being a little lazy, whatever the case may be, right? And they're going to keep giving you weekends, but they don't want you to perform. They're going to keep paying you because they give you a contract. They don't want you to perform. Wouldn't you as a comedian be like, I want to perform?
Right. I think I would have felt the same way Gareth Bale felt, where he's like, I want to play.
And which is what he was chilling. He wasn't arguing. He wasn't making a stink.
He went to Tottenham because he wanted to play. And that's it.
And that was bad.
It didn't go well. Everybody said he went to a bad team. All he can do is show up to the team that hires him to kick a ball around.
But that's the problem. Did he show up?
I think
physically.
I think so. Look, I think the slandering of Gareth Bale for all these years is probably a product of Real Madrid trying to force him out and not wanting to pay him.
Yeah, I think you're leaning too much on the conspiracy theory because I like what Crimson Pizza put in here. It said, he's not retired, but how does he compare to someone like Zlatan? That's someone who has willed himself to make the club he's at better. And when the situation is incomparable, he finds a way to go to the club. The guy's 41 years old, still playing.
Well, he's on the bench.
Still playing. Yeah. He's not on the bench because he's bad in training. He's not on the bench because he's unwilling to play or because of some other issue that's behind the scenes.
Right.
He's not on the bench because he doesn't want to. He's on the bench because he's at the point in his career where he's probably better coming off the bench than he is starting. But he's still playing.
Right. I mean, look, I guess if Zlatan is the standard of...
he's not the standard, but compare someone who is undying passion to do this thing that everyone in the stands wants you to do.
We all understand. You got this one guy. We all understand collectively that Zlatan is a crazy person, right?
Of course.
He's obsessed with his job. There's no way, you would assume his kids don't even see him
or
whatever.
He's Tom Brady.
right.
Zlatan is Tom Brady.
We could be
wrong.
I'm just saying. It's like he is clearly obsessed with his job, right? And Gareth Bale is not a person who's obsessed with their job, but they're very good at it, right? And this happens all the time. Any athlete has even a hobby. Mm-hmm. Oh, you like playing chess on weekends? You should be
You ain't focused,
you
bro.
You ain't focused on it. Like,
oh, you poop for more than 5 minutes? I hope you read it. I hope you're watching game tape in there.
So, look, he's not that guy because...
Ben Jaskolnik just said, I just realized Christian looks like the bodega version of the brawny paper towel guy. And then he put scrawny.
That's so good. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Okay. Now, look, I'll do the rebrand.
Bro, you look like the Wish.com brawny. You know what I mean? Like, you know when the bodega has like the off brands?
Right. I think that was offensive, but Ben's joke was good. I don't know what you were doing. So
you know does everyone else know what Mistolin is, or is that just a us thing?
I don't know. I can't imagine it's everywhere.
I saw an empty bottle of it on the street, and I'm like, there's another Latino here?
Mistolin is great. It smells great.
Mistolin will clean anything, too.
It will.
It's kind of crazy.
And just the smell, it brings about this nostalgia of being a kid.
Same thing with Fabuloso.
Yeah, yeah.
Fabuloso, you could literally have a bathroom that's covered in human shit. If I smell Fabuloso on the way in, I'm like, oh, it's clean.
Okay.
Oh, okay. We cleaned the room.
Brahma said, I think we expect players to love playing the game as much as we love watching them. Yeah. It's an unfair expectation, I think, to have.
Because I'm not saying that they personally have failed. Gareth Bale might answer this question different than we do. As fans of the game, especially when it's played at an exceptional level, I think we have a right to sit here and say, to us, you may be happy with your career, how much money you made, you got your family out the mud or something, maybe you have some investments, your children's children are secured financially. Sure, for those reasons, you may look at your career and say, oh, this was great. But we can sit here and say, as far as your playing career is, there's a missed opportunity. There's a potential that wasn't reached.
How many Champions League titles does Gareth Bale have?
I think he's got five.
I think he has five. I don't really understand what else could have accomplished.
That's what I'm saying. Could he? I mean, the only thing he could have done, I think, more is won either the Euros, World Cup, not happening. Euros, I think they had a chance.
Yeah.
Long shot, but a chance. And Premier League.
Right.
But not Premier League with, like, going to City.
Right. I mean,
although he would have been an amazing wing back at City.
He had, like 4 or 5 years ago when it started at Real Madrid, when he would touch the ball, his own fans would whistle. They would do the loud right. whistle. And he would say, like, I'm sure this affected him psychologically.
He said it.
Yeah. And when your own...
Soren Baku said, Bale could use some Fabuloso.
if your own fans don't want you there, that puts a mental strain on how much you love showing up to work.
Okay, maybe. But also, I think comedians are fairly competitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're on stage and there's one person in the crowd that's not laughing, that's the person you tend to focus on. You want to break them. You want to make them laugh. If a crowd is, you know, booing you, as soon as you touch the mic, it's tough.
Booing. Tough. Then you grab the mic. Hey, what's up? Boo.
And
you
know boo.
What? You know what? It's going to make it a little bit difficult to land them punchlines.
It's a hell of a hurdle you've got to start climbing. But if you lose the crowd mid-set, you don't walk off. You to yourself, you're like, watch, I'm going to win them over. That's what's in our brain. Yeah, probably don't. But it's in your brain that, like, yo, I'm going to win them over. To some degree, isn't that kind of what you expected of Gareth Bale?
I would say you probably expect it of any player because you think that they can overcome any psychological obstacle. Because we see athletes as a little bit superhuman. I mean, I saw this one. There's been a viral video or post or something that I saw on Instagram of a kid who was I can't remember his name, but he played for RSL and
I did see this. Yeah, he was a goalkeeper.
He was a goalkeeper and he quit to join a band because he just said as soon as he became a professional, he was making money and everything, but he just didn't feel... He was dealing with a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety.
Started playing badly. It got to him.
Right. So you can understand that because of the expectations that even that you're talking about right now, it's not for everybody. It's not... Everybody can't do it.
But he... I mean, this is a player who, at the beginning of his career, realized it's not for him. Gareth Bale didn't sit on the bench or sit in the stands, really, because he thought, this isn't for me anymore. And maybe the booing did get to him. Maybe the lack of respect... But I mean, a lot of the people said he's never even learned Spanish. Bro, how you not learn just a little bit? I mean, you also live like right there.
Right,
you
know right. I mean? you couldn't learn Mexican Spanish and foo and add yeah, all that. No.
We did it at the beginning of this episode.
They would have loved you, yo. Bro.
Just being brought over to like the prime ministers with a foo.
So maybe this was is less of a football thing and more of a Gareth Bale didn't ingratiate himself well enough in Spain and because we did hear him speak Spanish in a LAFC press conference and it was fine. It wasn't, you're not impressing a Spaniard, I'll tell you that much.
My mother wasn't like, is this my cousin?
But it was fine. Uh-huh. And I think that was
Michael Raymond said he did learn Spanish. Okay. I mean, they were trying to use anything they could against him.
Right. And so, and I'm reading Johan Cruyff's book, his autobiography, and you hear about his time in Spain in particular, And when he was in Barcelona, there was a lot of things that he was concerned about. He had, at the time when he was in Spain, it wasn't a democracy. He was dealing with referees that didn't like that he was like outspoken about, because Barcelona, Catalonia wanted to be independent
and all this other stuff.
So, like, refs would yellow card him or red card him, and he didn't do any, like, stuff like that. So there's just there's a culture that is still around, even amongst fan bases, and whether it's just judgment and criticism, and it's not for everybody. And I think Gareth Bale was just like, look, these people they're going wild on me. I'm doing what I can.
Right.
My team doesn't want me, but I can't really go anywhere else because I'm paid too much money.
Right.
So I'm just going to chill. I think that's his way of getting back at everybody how they treated him.
You ain't got to convince two Latinos that the Spanish can sometimes be a little judgy. You know what I mean? You ain't got to tell us.
So
would you rate his career on a scale of 1 to 10? Not don't think of him personally. Just think of it just as a career.
As a footballer, I would give him a solid. I'd give him a 7.5.
See, I was thinking it's a 7. You can't give him a 6 because he won so much.
Yeah.
But you can't give him an 8 or 9 because I feel like he could have won more. And granted, it's just more Champions Leagues, but still.
But he has just some of the most incredible goals that I think we've ever seen. I mean, obviously the bicycle kick in the Champions League final.
I believe it was in the final.
Is just one of the best goals you'll ever see.
And obviously for the thumbnail, we use the heat map of the goal he scored against Barcelona.
Yeah.
There's no reason to consider any other goal.
But, and then, okay, look, and even the goal against the Union in the MLS Cup final. These are incredible moments that he has been a part of.
Just as we said, I'd rate him as a 7 under. That's a good golfer right there, boy.
So, he's a great player that's had some incredible moments in his career, but overall, is he going to be like truly, truly remembered as one of the greats? Probably not, because of the last 7 years of his career they fizzled out. It was just, whether it was just contract stuff, poor relationships with a fan base. That's
part of your career, though. That's something you have to have a team around you to manage. That's a part of your career. It's never going to go perfectly smooth. And your passion to get out of that, your passion to supersede that, I think is an important part of your career. So, look, some people are saying 8. Some people are saying 7. Jamie's in a chat. He said, career is 10 out of 10. The man has 5 Champions Leagues and was important in multiple Champions League finals. Sure. But there's a couple years where he also could have helped. He could have had 6. He could have had 7. I'm just saying, do you count that against him? So I guess let us know. Let us know what you think.
Exactly. Wait,
hold on. Actually, speaking of, Gareth Bale is now going to be relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I think there's a certain way we like to relax.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, look, guys, Christian, this is important, right? Whether you're juggling work, family, or you're like Christian Bale now, you're relaxing, just playing golf. Gareth Bale, you're relaxing, you want to chill. All you got to do is reach for something that helps you chill, helps you end the day nice. For me, that's a Coors Light.
Exactly. Finally, people watching live can hear how much we enjoy a nice Coors Light. After we kick back in our studio, hanging out, whether it's watching a game, we always enjoy it with a Coors Light.
Absolutely. Look, there's only one beer that's really made to chill, okay? And that's Coors Light, which is why we drink it. You know, it's one of those things that, like, end of the day, I want to kick my feet up. You know when some people, like, they sit down, they go, I don't hear that until I hear that of a nice Coors Light.
Oh, I just love hearing you say,
Yeah, because look, guys, because I know what I'm about to have is cold refreshment. And look, it's made to chill. And some would look at me physically and say, Alexis, I think you're made to chill.
So when it's time to unwind, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit the reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. Somebody else who's also had a very fascinating career.
Nah, this is finesse of the year.
Because
at the beginning of the year, I'm willing to claim this is finesse of the year.
Roberto Martinez is now the manager for the Portugal national team. This man is the king of failing upwards. I don't know. I mean, you have to be impressed.
Bro, this man has moonwalked into more jobs. This man has been going backwards, uphill, somehow. You know what? When I hurt my knee, my physical therapist said, you know, the difficult part is I live in New York City. We got to take subways. You got to go up and down stairs. I'm taking steps one at a time, you know, boom, 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 right? I was like, yo, I'm holding people up. As a New Yorker, it's like, I get mad at when people do this, right? And now I'm the guy who people, I can hear the
sure
behind me. I'm like, oh, man, right? It's me.
Right? Well, these Jamaicans behind me for some reason.
Right, yeah. It's the neighborhood I live in, bro. But you know what she said? She goes, You should try going down the steps backwards. Do you want me to die going down steps backwards? Have you ever tried brushing your teeth with the other hand?
Yeah, it's odd.
End up moving your face, and I am. That's what it would be like for me. I'm like, can the stairs move? Okay. I don't know how to go down steps. I'd die, dude. I would die. To me, going down steps backwards is essentially what this man has done his entire career.
It's especially after. The World Cup that Belgium had, which was not good. Especially in that first game against Canada where they barely...
Since Belgium has been considered the number one team in FIFA, they've looked bad.
Pretty much. I mean, look.
What have they won?
The crown is too heavy.
Bro.
I think that's the main thing with this hire. Who was what was the former manager's name? Sanchez? What was his name?
Who?
The former manager for Portugal. He was there for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He just got fired.
Yeah. I forgot his name. But it's going from a very well-respected manager to just some guy. Let's not be crazy. Like,
they went from like a Portuguese guy who everyone knew.
Yeah.
To a guy, as everyone knows, is not winning none.
And I don't want to disrespect Roberto Martinez. I mean, he has quite a career.
There's nothing we could say that would disrespect him more than the way the English pronounced him when he was his name when he was manager of Everton, Roberto Martinez.
Martinez, which is that, yeah.
That's the most disrespectful.
They can't stop doing it.
No. And you know what? I'm starting to think they know. I'm starting to think they know, dude.
It's a personal attack. But it's like when you look back at his, he won. This was the thing that put him on the map. He won FA Cup with Wigan.
Yeah.
Then got the...
Which is, by the way, a team that like even locals don't care about. They're more of... Apparently, Wigan is more of a rugby town.
Okay.
I believe, weren't they in the championship? Or no, because they won FA Cup, they still got relegated that year. But they were, I believe, in Europa or Champions
Something
League.
Something like that, yeah.
While being in the championship.
Right.
Crazy.
So
never seen that before in my life.
He is... He's a manager that I think most people accept that he just underperforms. He
doesn't deliver.
Doesn't deliver.
He's not a good manager, is what it is.
He's like an okay manager. He's not the worst manager, but he's just like okay. He has like an interesting philosophy in.
I think he's good at interviewing.
Well, he is a good like pundit. And
I think
on
he's
TV.
Good at interviewing for the job.
Got it. Okay.
I think he's like one of those guys who comes in and razzle dazzle. You know what I mean? He's got a deck. He shows.
He brings.
He's got music cues.
He brings books. Grant Wall.
Confetti?
Grant Wall, in his book, Master of Modern Soccer, did one of the chapters is about Roberto Martinez, where he spent like a several days with mm-hmm. him. And he is I carry around a book of like set pieces kind of guy.
Right.
So he is like into the weeds of the game.
How come he ain't using it? You know what I mean?
He's obsessed with football. We know that.
Imagine you saw a kid. If my nephew was taking a lot of books to school but failing, I'd be like, hey, maybe take a little less books.
But maybe
open them.
Maybe it's maybe he's not a good like man manager and not good at like inspiring players.
Perfect guy to hire to manage a national team.
So that's so this is why this is like a bit of a shock, but it's getting to the point. There aren't that many. Who is going to take the job? Like there aren't
It's a national team. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, but it isn't like...
You think there's a shortage of people who want to manage the Portuguese national team? Jorge Jesus would do it in the drop of a hat.
There's a shortage of managers that I think people would be proud to have as their manager coaching their national team. So that's... I don't think the Portuguese national team is a hot job, which
I
is,
think you're crazy. Well, I think you're... crazy.
Well, you can accept this.
Roberto
Martinez is not Portugal's first choice.
No.
So clearly, people said no.
Well, when they went to Jose Mourinho, you saw what he said. He goes, "Yeah, I'll do it, but I get to keep my other job." So, you can't be. I'll date you, but I'm not getting rid of my wife.
It's so like, I'm saying, I don't think it has that much respect on the national stage as far as top. Jobs in for as far as top national team jobs.
I think you're crazy. People were considering them favorites. Not a lot, but some people were considering them favorites to win the World Cup.
Nah, bro. I don't know.
I think it might be because of the Ronaldo drama.
Yeah, that doesn't help. But that's part of any national team job. Just like the U.S. is going what they're going through, right? It's not a good look. It makes the job not as appealing. Taylor Twellman, when he was talking about the whole thing, he said that this is an embarrassment to U.S. soccer because of this coming out. The news about Zinedine Zidane not being, rejecting the opportunity to coach the U.S. men's national team.
But he rejected a bunch. He rejected Portugal.
He rejected Portugal. Like I said, I'm saying this is not this. What is this? Why is this a great job?
Zinedine Zidane, because they have like great players and youth players, and they look good without Ronaldo. I mean, this is a team that I think can be good in the next 2 to 4 years, or continue to be as good in the next 2 to 4 years. You're walking into a World Cup with a team that's hard to beat. I mean, what more do you want?
These other managers don't see it.
And also, this guy couldn't win with Belgium, and you think he's going to win with Portugal?
That's why it seems like a little bit of a ridiculous choice. But best of luck. If he can figure it out and he can kind of turn his career around. I like Roberto Martinez as a person. I would like to see him succeed.
You're not hiring the person. You're hiring the manager. And this is a bad manager.
So,
and by the way, Freddy Alarcón put brushing one's teeth with the less dominant hand is actually recommended by some dental professionals, so the person brushing doesn't brush harder than necessary. Brushing too hard can wear away enamel and wear away the gum line. Wow. You know what else it's good for? And this is why I know this and why I brought it up as a thing. It's good for to fight off dementia. Did you know that?
Doing things with your
non-dominant hand.
And they also say knowing multiple languages also fights dementia. Right. You have a less likelihood.
Brushing teeth. What do you speak Spanish when you brush your teeth?
These are just other examples.
What else does brushing your teeth with your wrong hand do?
I use an electric toothbrush, which is actually...
What do you equip?
No, I use something. It's called Burst, but it's not special.
I think those are those toothbrushes that are marketed to
people who wear shirts like this.
ladies whose significant others aren't around as much. If you catch my drift,
I have no idea.
Vibrator. It's a fucking vibrator. Is what I'm trying to say. I mean, how is it going to make the fucking comment? Jesus Christ.
I mean, look, get to the point.
It's like called a burst, bro. And you're like, man, this seems to. Seems to really focus on the top of my tooth.
Dentists recommend. They recommend electric toothbrushes because brushing manually doesn't actually brush enough than what's necessary. So,
are we doing another ad read? The answer is no. You know what's good for your teeth? Coors Light, bro.
Coors Light.
Get that Coors Light in your system. Swish it around that mouth.
Okay. And don't spit it out.
Nah, we swallow around here.
Okay.
Do not clip that, Jamie.
Wild. So again, best of luck to Roberto Martinez. Who knows what the Euros are coming up, obviously, in 2 years. So we'll see what he can do.
Crimson
there.
Pizza said Big Sam was ready to change his name to Sam Allardyce.
All right, we have to let's get to some Premier League news, because Joao Felix here holding a pistol.
Yeah, what is this photo?
Holding his imaginary gun.
Also, Graham Potter seems really excited about the fact, really enjoying this.
Joao Felix is now loaned to Chelsea for 6 months, And we see the fee is $11.8 million.
And if I'm not mistaken, Atletico Madrid put in a right to buy in there as well, something like $60
million. No, there is no right to buy. Nope.
Oh, that was the deal he was going to have with either United or Arsenal.
Yeah, so there is no loan to buy option.
So, yo, they pay $11.8 million for 6 months?
6 months.
Bro, what's the math on that, though?
Okay, this is Gareth Bale level finessing, dude. I don't know. Chelsea are dealing with, massive injuries. They already have a starting 11 of injuries.
So they need a lot of people.
They need help.
$11.8 million a loan?
You really need help if it's nearly $12 million.
$2 million, essentially $1.96 million a month, which I could have done that math without a calculator. But hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on. 11.8 divided by 26. They're paying $450,000 a week. They're paying Mbappe money.
Yeah.
That's not even a salary, dog.
Are you going to get Mbappe results?
Bro.
So draw Felix.
Maybe just from the final. No, he actually scored.
He was rumored to go to Manchester United. That seemed to be I thought that was a likely choice. Chelsea, I think, just came out of nowhere.
Chelsea did come out of nowhere. But also, Chelsea doesn't seem to have a scouting department of their own. They're just like, yo, what's Arsenal doing? All right, we want in. Bro, what's his name? Mikhailo Mudryk?
Mm-hmm.
His agent was in town. Or no, the people from Shakhtar were in town, and they were at the Chelsea game. Yo, yeah. Taboli is just like, yo, give me whatever Arteta's having.
It seems that they're in there to just inflate the price of.
Well, no, they're actually trying to do business.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying. But just trying to rub elbows in there, right. I don't know. It's just Chelsea seems like such a poor project right now. They got rid of Tuchel.
He said that's why he went. Did you see the quote?
No.
He said he really he chose Chelsea because he likes the project. What project, bro?
I mean,
this is a project building is what it is.
It's an estate.
Yo, bro. Fam.
Chelsea are not fun to watch. The last few weeks have not been really interesting or entertaining, but they have such a strong squad. If they had a healthy squad, obviously losing Reece James, losing Ben Chilwell, Christian Pulisic now injured, and Pulisic was getting a lot of starts in the last few matches.
Yeah. Post-World Cup, seems like the tide had shifted.
Yeah,
for
they
him.
Were like, all right, let's see what we can do. Right,
but turns out he's made of glass.
Right. So they were like, let him cook. And yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, shit, he just burned himself.
Well, John Stones in the game against Man City, John Stones, Everton legend.
yeah, we all remember him for that.
He put in a great tackle, a great recovery, and he got the ball and Pulisic kicked into the ball, hurt his knee. It was just a unfortunate injury. Pulisic is going to be out for a few weeks, but Chelsea have just been terrible. I don't know how else to explain it. They just looked really, really bad. And even with Aubameyang looks lost. There was a moment in
Aubameyang looks like Aubameyang. This is what we knew he was. This is his last season at Arsenal. It's happening right here. Once he gets the check, he don't care no more.
Yeah, it's Raheem Sterling got injured in that same game, which I believe John Stones also hurt. So he's going after everybody at Chelsea. Right. but the Aubameyang comes in the game, and this happened within the 10th minute, something like that, early in the game. Aubameyang comes in, and then also he substituted into the game and then also gets subbed out.
Yeah.
So,
yo, that was a mistake. you ever go in front of your mirror and be like, nah, I don't think this hat matches with what I'm wearing. So you put another one on the way out, you glimpse, and you're like, nah, this also don't work?
I've made another mistake.
Wow, double up on the mistake. That's what happened to him. My man got subbed out after being subbed on. Unless you're injured, that's not a good look.
It's not a great look. And in this particular game, he looked and I'm talking about this was the Premier League match, not they played against City in the FA Cup and lost, and that was, so I'm not talking about that game, but the there was a moment when Kai Havertz had the ball and receives it top of the box. He's like towards the left side, top of the box, more midfield. And Aubameyang is inside the box with a straight. He is to Kai Havertz's left, and Havertz has to place the ball, just a through ball right in front of Aubameyang. Before, between the keeper.
And look, Obama, you can say what you want, but he has the skill.
He can
put his foot out.
He can do the right thing. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And
some would say this is his only skill left because he's lost his legs.
Kai Havertz receives the ball and makes a turn to the kind of wrong direction or in the direction that Aubameyang is not. And Aubameyang is like, you know, does the Argentinian, points at his feet, you know, give me the ball. And Kai Havertz just... plays it back or you know, does a negative pass. And so it tells me that Chelsea I don't even know if it's specifically Aubameyang. It's just they're not looking for him. They're not really playing
Is this on purpose?
With each other. I don't know.
Do you think it's on purpose, though?
I mean, I would assume no, because Chelsea needs points desperately. They need wins desperately. But the chemistry is just clearly not there. But Aubameyang... there's just something about when a team is not clicking, Aubameyang looks worse. He looks,
without a doubt,
more lost than a regularly lost player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is a forward who barely touches the ball with Chelsea. And it is not, even at Arsenal, even when they weren't clicking too well, Aubameyang knew his job. And
he doesn't have the personality or the skill set to get you out of trouble.
100%. He does not.
He ain't that guy. You're like, all right, we don't know what we're doing. And he's like, me neither, bro.
He needs somebody who's just a great passer to get him the ball.
He needs service.
Yeah, and Chelsea they really have no, you know, strong midfielder.
But something's happening, because even Cucurella looked incredible at Brighton. Same manager. Dude looks completely different player.
Brighton also look incredible.
Oh, my God.
The last couple. I mean, they...
What's his name? Zerbi?
So yeah, Deserby, some of that. They humiliated Everton, and they won their the FA Cup match as well.
I was so happy we beat them. Arsenal beat them away, because that is not an easy team to beat, especially not with Deserby,
right,
who used to be Mudrik's manager at Shakhtar.
Okay, so. So Chelsea are a bit of a concern. I don't know if anybody else in the chat. I don't know if we have many Chelsea fans in the chat, but it is a cause for concern. I believe they're in 10th place at the moment. Our Champions League is coming up. I don't know what the expectation is, but it doesn't even seem like it's top four anymore for Chelsea. They look really that bad.
No, their hope is to finish in the top half. If they make the right purchases in January, I can see them sneaking their way into maybe a Europa thing. But by the way, someone put this in the chat, and it turns out it is true. Someone said Lloris has just retired from international football, and that is true.
Okay.
Yeah, nice cold brew.
All right.
Yeah.
Hugo Lloris done. Then, so who steps up? Maignan?
Maybe.
I think he's at AC Milan. All right.
Someone put up a very funny video of a goalkeeper making a bunch of mistakes, and they said this is Hugo Lloris. You gotta love it.
Speaking of goalkeepers, did you see what the goal? I mean, Everton did lose to Manchester United, but did you see the goal that David De Gea gave up?
Yes.
This is, poor goalkeeping at its finest.
David De Gea is one of those guys who just every once in a while forgets. He's on a pitch.
It's very odd. He's a who's
he has that like one mistake in him.
Well, there was something to I forgot. Somebody posted this. Apologies, I can't remember about David De Gea and since Eric Ten Hag came in. Eric Ten Hag came in and saw how much De Gea was touching the ball. And playing out of the back, and he's like, "Okay, we're done with this."
Yeah, why are you asking this guy to do that?
And so you see the numbers. It went from before Ten Hag with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, De Gea was getting like something like 6 or 7 clearances a game, or you know, kicking the ball, the goal kicks or whatever, he was kicking them far. Mm-hmm. Something like 6 or 7 and now per game, and now the average is like something like 10. So clearly the intention is, all right, you're gonna give us up. You're gonna give up a goal from if we ask you to make decisions. So they just like boot it and we'll figure it out later. So So David De Gea's a little bit of a concern, even though Manchester United are playing absolutely amazingly the last couple of weeks.
That's the thing. Yeah. They're playing well. What was it? What did they have, like 8 clean sheets or something like that?
Yeah. I don't know how many, but yeah, they're playing remarkably.
And then he does one thing where you're like, what in the hell?
I mean, Manchester United currently in fourth place, which I don't think a lot of people expected.
With a game in hand, I know some teams have played 17, some teams have played 18. But really, I mean, against Newcastle, even with Newcastle,
this is not the top four a lot of people say.
Bro, I did not have this drawn up. What, in fact, do you think this Manchester United that we've seen recently is the Manchester United that we're going to see moving forward? Or do you think that they get back into bad habits, or maybe Rashford isn't goes back to his bad form? Do you think they finish in the top four?
I'm going to say yes.
But what is your top four? At the end of the season, what do you see is 1 through 4?
I think 1 and 2 are set, as we see here. Arsenal, Man City.
Do you think
City.
Arsenal wins the league?
I do.
I'm going to England if Arsenal win the league.
Okay. I mean, what is that?
I have to go. Like that
for
day.
For the parade or
yes,
something.
I have to go. Like that day, I will go to an airport.
Okay.
I have to.
Good for you.
I have to. I have to be with my people.
Your people.
Yeah, right. The English.
The English people.
This is your language now. Bro, I said this to D. I go, yo, just so you know, if Arsenal win the league, bro, I'm going. And she goes, oh, I'll go with you. I'm like, you are not. You're going to be like, yeah, I'm going back to the hotel room. This is a lot.
If Everton stay up, I'm walking naked through Liverpool. I'm celebrating, yeah. Okay?
I'm going to England if Everton stay up.
So I don't think a lot of people expected it. Do I think Newcastle and Manchester United stay in the top four? No. Newcastle feels like that's a tough one. I don't see how they maintain that, but I could see it. I mean, look at the gap. I mean, at least between 5th and 6th.
I think Tottenham slides out.
Tottenham have been really bad too, man.
They have. They seem to have turned a corner, though. They played really well last game.
FA Cup? I don't count.
Like, I just don't want to be...
Well, they struggle against some conference league side or whatever.
I don't want to disrespect them too much. I think the biggest shock from just the teams you see on the screen, we're seeing 1 through 10. Obviously, the funny joke is you have to accept cookies on the Premier League website in order to see Chelsea because they're in 10th. The banner pops up at the bottom. Love the joke every time they do it. But what we see from first to 10, if you guys don't know, it's Arsenal, City, Newcastle, United, Manchester United, Tottenham, Liverpool. In 7th, you have Fulham. 8th, you have Brighton. 9th, you have Brentford. 10th, you have Chelsea. The two names that stick out here are Brighton and Brentford. No? Are those the biggest surprises in the top 10?
No.
Who's the biggest surprise in the top 10?
Fulham. Fulham is definitely.
Oh, I meant to say Fulham.
Yeah,
instead of
Brighton. Fulham is great. They were struggling last year.
Of those, who's the biggest surprise, though?
Out of those three?
Yeah, would you still say it's Fulham?
I still say Fulham,
but
yeah.
They played so well in the championship. Dude, I mean, scored 41 goals.
I just hate when former Everton managers find success.
Bro, you got a lot to upset. Be
anywhere.
Upset
I'm like, why? How? How do you do it?
And that guy, and that guy, and that guy.
Silva, right? Marco Silva? The performances that even, Tim Ream going to the World Cup, he's a huge part of Fulham being where they are.
Huge. Did you remember what Pep Guardiola said to him?
Oh, yeah, if you were younger.
No, he said if you weren't 34, you'd be on City. And he goes, thank you, I'm 35, though.
Okay, right.
This man is 35 years old and really at the peak of his game, which, it does bring up an old subject we used to talk about when we, first started the show, which is American players were going to college, then, professional. So because college has such a light schedule, Americans don't really reach their peak as opposed to like 27, like most Europeans do. We don't really reach our peak till 30, 31. We certainly don't reach our peak at 35. This is crazy.
Who's Mitrovic? Mitrovic is another dude that
Bro.
Still doing it and still scoring. Look,
still plays like he's smoking cigarettes out there, but it works.
When they went their first time around or their last time around in Premier League, because Mitrovic was at Newcastle for a little bit, right? And then they got relegated.
Was he?
I believe so.
Click on his name.
Mitrovic was.
Crystal Palace? No, that's the team. Yeah, Newcastle. Yeah.
So,
he was on loan.
He went
back from loan.
He was at Newcastle when they got relegated, and I think he brought them back up, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
I completely forgot this man played for Newcastle.
And then I think he was at Fulham when they also got relegated and brought them back up, if I'm not mistaken. But the dude is, just put up numbers. Dude, 17 goals in 72 appearances for Newcastle from 2015 to 2018.
The man has 95 goals in 4 years.
He's a baller.
That's insane.
And he's having a great season.
Only person who's looking at this going, that's not insane, is Haaland. That's the only guy.
So Fulham for sure. Very impressive the fact that they are where they are. They look great this season. Okay. All right. There was what else? There was something else I was going to bring up. Where is it?
Oh, Kylian Mbappe with the whole France thing?
Oh, yeah. This was, we were talking about Zinedine Zidane, and when he rejected, obviously, a lot of national team jobs, because I think the thought for a lot of people is that he wants the France job. And obviously, Didier Deschamps got his contract renewed. So this is will be quite possibly his third. He got renewed till 2026. So it'll be his third World Cup cycle. So it's not too common.
I mean, deserves it. Won it, got to the final. I think he deserves another one.
Yeah.
Although some people say like they're tired of like old school football. They want somebody other than Deschamps. But you can't argue with the results.
Exactly. It just, again, there's not, Roberto Martinez is not stepping into the first.
You know what? Please don't speak that into the universe, because he will somehow. He becomes Mbappe's agent somehow.
But there was a little bit of drama around the fact that the president of the French Federation said, like, Deschamps was always my guy. I didn't even speak to Zidane, and really was just a little bit dismissive.
A little callous about
like, I mean, it is Zidane. Let's not be.
We ain't talking about a normal human being here.
Okay. But it led to this tweet from Kylian Mbappe. Obviously, you see it in French there, but he said, Zidane is France. We don't disrespect the legend like that. So he's telling his bosses, like, yo. I mean, we got a manager. I get it.
Yeah. You'll speak kindly on my man, bro.
But that's my guy. I don't understand.
And also, he should be our guy. It's clear that Kylian Mbappe wanted Zidane as a manager, I think.
I think any French player would want Zidane.
I think any player would want Zidane as their manager.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't think this is necessarily a sign that he would want him as his manager for the French national team. I just think it's how old is Kylian Mbappe? 23, 24?
22.
He has to tell the adults, like, yo, show
respect. Let's be adults here.
Show respect to my elders. He's 24. You know what I mean? The president of the French Federation, I think, is older than Zidane. So it's like, yo, bro.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, we're better than that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you ever see like those videos where like the kid is the adult in the room and he's like, stop arguing, to his parents or something? That's what Mbappe did.
Yeah, I'm playing this game now called It Takes Two.
I've never heard of it.
It's a fun game
to make a thing go right.
It's a platform game, like, I don't know, like Mario 64 or something like that, like whatever, a 3D platformer. But it's co-op, so I'm playing.
You're saying a lot of things I don't understand.
Me and my wife are.
All I heard was.
So meaning cooperative game, two players.
That
play.
I get, but yeah. you play versus people that aren't there, right?
No. You play. You're playing the game. It's all, okay, you're not playing online or anything. Okay. Yeah. But the storyline of the game is that you are two you're a husband and wife, and you have a daughter, And literally starts the game starts like this. The couple is arguing and mm-hmm. they want to get divorced. And the wife is like, I'm done with this. I need to get a divorce.
This is a wonderful thing for you to play, by the way.
But then the daughter is really sad. She sees her parents arguing and she's like, I wish they could work things out and stay together. And she like cries and she goes to sleep. And when they wake up, the parents are these two dolls that she stitched. She made like two little dolls of her parents. And the parents wake up and they're the dolls. And they don't know why they're trapped in these bodies. And they have to like solve all these puzzles and get through to reconnect
the
with their daughter.
The broken human being that made this game, bro.
It's a great game. Paul Nelson saying it's a great game. It is a really good game. And I haven't played
Who suggested this game, you or your lady? Because I'm a little worried.
I did.
Where you're like, hey, look at this wonderful game.
I suggested it, but I didn't know the storyline of the game. I just knew it was like a platformer and it would be fun. And then it got
PS5?
It got real serious real fast.
Real fast. Yeah.
I got it on Nintendo Switch. But
why are we in the game? You know?
It's a great game. Wow, spoiler. It's not spoiler. That's literally how the game begins.
Paul Nelson. Says starts family, plays divorce game. Wow, dude. Hey, before this baby comes out, you know what I should do? Throw a Molotov cocktail to this relationship.
Oh, this is funny. Crimson Pizza said, Christian, don't you think Alexis could have voiced the Book of Love? There's a character in the game that is a Book of Love, and it's like the one leading the parents, like, you got to do this or go to this level. It's just like guiding you through the game.
Right.
And
I'm assuming it's a come kind of a youth pastory voice?
No. It's like a cholo guy, like
Oh, really?
A Latino. It's a Spanish. It's clearly a Spanish speaking guy, and it's like a very exaggerated accent. But he's Crimson Pizza said you could have voiced the character, which you would have nailed it.
I would not have accepted an audition for something called The Book of Love.
Ben Skolnick said their therapist suggested the game. Yeah, it was a great idea. Yeah.
Camilo Garcia said, hey, honey, do you want to play a divorce simulator?
That would be such a hilarious game. Wow. Literally fighting for child support.
I want to see what she going to do. You know what I mean? How hard she going to play for this custody.
It'd be just like when you're playing video games with your cousins or whatever, and you're like, pushing them as they're playing Street Fighter.
You slap the controller.
No. You can't. No, you can't be putting $800 a month child support on me. That's
crazy, bro. Well, I got to have them on weekends. It's the only thing that don't work.
Damn, I hate this game.
I know I should have never played this married you game. I mean, game.
Oh, kids these days in their video games.
Well, y'all don't want to do Mario Kart? What's wrong with y'all? I still, to this day, have never even seen Mario Kart be played.
All right, well,
I have no idea what's going on there.
That's your choice. I mean, it's not a complicated game. It's racing game.
I don't even have the game system for it.
Well, you've never had like Super Nintendo or
I had Super Nintendo, but
you didn't have Mario Kart.
I did not have Mario Kart. No, okay. I only got the games other people didn't want. Seems to be a popular one. No one ever gave me that one.
No, Mario Kart is too.
But I can't play that on PS5, right? I'd have to get a Switch.
Right. You know, an older GameCube, Super Nintendo. You get an emulator. Get a
bring home a dusty ass.
I still have.
Crimson Pizza said, Alexis is like, I'm here to read the book of blowing your back out.
Interesting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Fuck all this love talk, bro.
Yeah, interesting. Not many chapters in this one.
I mean, it's long enough.
My God.
There seems to be a lot of blank pages at the end.
Why are the pages stuck to each other?
It's all snoring. It's just Z's on all these pages.
Okay.
I'll send you my old Wii, Alexis. No, thank you. I do not want a Wii. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
Remember when we did that video for NYCFC where we gave the gift card to the guy who had the candy?
Yes.
Not the candy store, the game store. He helped out all the children's hospitals and stuff during COVID. Mm-hmm. We presented him with like a surprise award. He was like, guys, take a game home. And I was like, so I just grabbed the game that was in front of me and it was called Lawyer Up.
Right.
And it was the book, the game is about like, all right, you've committed a crime and now you have to like lawyer up. And now it's a board game about like, you know, if you roll the dice right, you know, you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I brought it home, I go, yeah, that's a game. I put it down. She's like, you got a game about divorce? I go, no. No, why is that different? What am I, Christian? No. I got, it's called Lawyer
It's
Up.
A crime. Yeah. It's a crime game.
No, babe, we're criminals.
We're going to commit crimes together.
We're still in love. But now we need a lawyer.
Okay. All right, back to footy for a bit. The some of the FA Cup results. Obviously, Arsenal. We're recording this before Arsenal play their FA Cup match, but there were a couple upsets, and I think the biggest one had to be Aston Villa losing to Stevenage, which is, I mean, what a name
that is. First of all, you know they're not in the top league.
Oh, 100%.
No one's ever heard of Stevenage.
Nobody ever heard of it. People think it's a surname.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I've never. Yeah,
you're like, look at these English people just extending a regular name to sound royal.
So they.
Where are they from? Like, what town is Stevenage from? It can't be a town named Stevenage.
Look it up. Yeah, I don't know.
They're Hertfordshire.
Hertfordshire. Okay.
The town of Stevenage.
Well, that makes sense.
Yo, y'all names are crazy. dude is tiny.
They got Aston Villa scored first. I saw the highlights for this. Aston Villa scored first, and then they got a red card for a denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
Little dog so.
Bury the penalty. And then this was the, if people haven't seen the goal, Olsen, I forgot his first name. He's the backup keeper, obviously, for Aston Villa. He
will remain the backup keeper.
He's also
keeper.
Former Robin Olsen, former Everton keeper, if I'm not mistaken. He was also a backup there. And he gives up. They have a corner kick, Stevenage, and then they do a short corner. And the player, I think his name is Hall or something. I forgot his name.
There's a guy named Jamie Reed who scored the penalty. Is that the guy you're talking about?
No.
Or Dean Campbell scored in the 90th minute.
Campbell. Mm-hmm. Campbell. So he scores this goal. I don't know what's going on with this screen. It's not moving. Okay. He scores during the they do a short corner, and he goes near post during a short corner. Robin Olsen has this completely covered.
It's like the one thing you're not supposed to do.
It's
right?
You don't want to. It's like 88th minute. You don't want to. They score in 3 minutes or whatever. 88th and 90th. Yeah.
90th. Yeah.
And those are just really, again, similar to the David De Gea goal. You know, these are the goals that you know you shouldn't give up. The keeper knows that he should not give up a goal like that. And I think Aston Villa loses at home in embarrassing fashion,
right?
To a League Two side, and
even if I don't care what level the players you've started,
yeah,
that's the League Two. It's not, dude. They're playing Wrexham next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not great. Did Wrexham win their game? I saw they were leading their game. I don't know if they won their FA Cup game, but that's also another thing I've been monitoring.
Wrexham,
yeah.
They won.
Okay.
They won. It was crazy.
So the...
Justin Verberg said, Everton infecting other clubs with their bad vibes through backup keepers.
bro, they are on top of it.
You're going to relegate everybody, bro.
The other result, the Cardiff Leeds game, I think... Leeds were down 2-0, and then they ended up...
They came back.
They came back. Junior,
stunning fashion.
Junior Firpo with the assist to tie the game.
Was that it? Was that him that left it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was him. Dominicanos in the Premier League.
Right.
Out here thriving.
Just they can't stop saucing.
So he's not getting many minutes in the Premier League, which is concerning. But, you know, I'll talk to Jesse. We'll see what we can do.
Jesse had a bad chopped cheese once and was like, bro, your people out.
I wonder how Junior Firpo's English is now that he's been in. I'm like, I want to maybe get him on the show. If we could do an interview in English,
that'd be wonderful.
That'd be really dope. I don't know if we could do it in Spanish, obviously. But I'm
curious. Certainly the beginning will be. There's going to be a whole lot of que lo que es, a whole lot of emails.
Have you heard him speak Spanish? He has like a hybrid Dominican Spanish accent because
I can't even understand. I can't picture what that sounds like.
He grew up
in Spain.
He spent a lot of time in Spain. I think he didn't go there that young, but he did. He was born in DR, but it might have been when he was like 12 or 13 that he went to Spain.
But in his house, like the reason you have a Dominican accent, the reason I have a semi-Cuban accent, I know a lot of people say it's like an overall Caribbean accent. My last Uber driver thought I was Venezuelan. But the reason I sound like that is because the house I grew up in. So you're going to sound a little Dominican if you grew up in a Dominican house in Spain.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like a muted Dominican accent. I mean, it's hard to describe it. But look up people speaking Spanish.
I got to check that out.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so a big draw. So obviously how do you feel about FA Cup replays? Do you think we should be done with this?
Either everybody does a home and away or no one.
Because they
just do the penalties.
They stopped it during COVID, all right? Yeah. They didn't do the replays because obviously it was just difficult to schedule matches.
Right.
But this it's starting to feel antiquated. I know some people, the English are always mired and they're stuck in tradition. It's right. Like, we can't change it because that's how we've always done it.
But all you have to do is have a conversation and one guy in the back of the room goes, it was the way they did in my granddaddy's time. And they're like, all right, and then that's it.
Okay, I guess we got to bring back slavery because
don't say it too loud. They agreed to Brexit.
Because that's how it was in his grandpappy's time.
Right. The reason I like it is because these smaller clubs now get a second chance at revenue.
Yeah, and that seems to be that would be the pro would say as well, that the getting to play,
because you know Stevenage is like, bro, we don't care if we get bodied, bro, give us that second game. I mean, obviously they don't need it because they won, but you know, who did Leeds go? Because Cardiff City is like, bro, I'll take a second check.
Yeah, yeah. So now, obviously, Leeds will host the replay, but it does feel like in this day and age, when we see how many minutes are on the legs of these players and what we're sort of asking of them to do this, it's starting to feel cruel.
This is a part of being a player in England, though. They just don't take a winter break. They have three competitions outside of potential European competitions.
Yeah.
So if you're a team like Arsenal, City, Newcastle, you have to figure out a way to field the teams for Premier League, FA Cup, the EFL Cup / what is it, Carabao Cup,
yeah,
Champions League. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously if you are one of the better teams, you are playing more fixtures.
A ton.
But look, Justin Freeberg just said, replays are annoying, especially now considering how many additional games all these teams are already playing.
Yeah, it's a lot. But you know what, hey, win and you don't have a replay. Or lose and you don't have to play a replay.
Well,
come in.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, we are.
We're live.
Oh, okay. We can't right now. We're literally doing a show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, thank you.
Perfect. Thanks.
No problem.
thank you. Man.
What's your name?
My name is Rick.
Rick. All right. Cool. Everyone, say bye to Rick. Everyone.
Okay.
Okay. We're gonna cut that out. You ain't gonna get a free Adam.
Okay.
I thought that was the Coors Light guy, man. I was like, man, this guy's dressed fancy for dropping off Coors Light.
You don't see too many just fedoras, and the Spectrum guy having a fedora is pretty
bro,
dope.
The smokestack salesman kind of thing, right? Going door to door. Old school, bro. Reminds me of the first job I had out of college.
I thought you were selling Cutco knives, huh?
He's cutting a penny behind him. I'm like, dude, you need to stop. You never did Cutco, right?
I did not do Cutco.
No, me neither.
Okay. Well,
you
went in with the assumption. I thought you were gonna be like, well, I did try.
No. No, I just want to make sure, because, bro, and no offense to anyone who's done Cutco, but everyone I met who's done Cutco is like trying to take my watch off as we speak.
I've heard they're good knives.
Huh? Who said that? Your aunt that opens her door for everyone?
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we're talking FA Cup. I was going to say that a draw in an FA Cup replay is feels like a loss, really.
Or, who said, St. Tali said about to get swatted.
Please. No. yeah, it feels like it very much feels like a loss depending on the team. It feels like, oh, now we're putting our players at a risk of injury.
Well, okay. Do you think this is too many games for Leeds? Because if I were Leeds, I'd say, why don't you need to put all your eggs in this basket right now, because it's the closest thing you have to a title.
So, and I think the context is
other
important.
Other than being relegated, you need to stay up.
The context is important. There are some teams that an FA Cup victory would, you know, just the prize money, the opportunity to whatever tournament, or I guess Europa, I don't know what conference, I don't know what what's the reward, but for some teams, yeah, it would be it's a big it's something to fight for and worth going for. But the replays themselves just seem, they seem unnecessary. Whether you are a team in League Seven or Manchester City, I don't really, I get the, I think we've passed the point of the financial gain of having that replay is not worth losing a player or having an injury in like some unnecessary game, or you know, you have to reschedule the game, so there's going to be a short window between that game and your next league game and stuff like that.
Look, it makes it tougher, but that's part of the job of a manager, no? Is to kind of decipher what players can you sit, what players can you bench, what players can you play for a little bit? How do you manage your roster through these many competitions?
Yeah, I'm done with it, though. It seems.
Yeah, you're good. All right, who cares? Yeah, we'll get rid of them.
Okay, anything else?
Your tradition sucks.
Anything else before we wrap up in the chat? And as a reminder, we'll be back tomorrow talking all things American soccer. Obviously, a lot of MLS transfers. Bigger NWSL transfers as well. Dabinho just went to Kansas City, which is pretty wild. And so, yeah, so, you know, we'll talk about all of that tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube, and it'll be available Wednesday on the Cooligans podcast. Make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you have not yet. We would very much appreciate that.
5 stars or we delete it, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's it. Anything else? Yes, he did leave a business card. Some people are...
Some people are saying he left something else. He did. I think he left like a little envelope or something before the business card.
But I mean...
We will investigate that
for clearly already have internet. This is how you're seeing and hearing. Also, when I first looked into getting internet in this building, it was not really available. Or at least I looked up like Fios and it wasn't available. But the internet that we have here is...
Fire.
It's fire. So we're
it's
all...
Verizon fire, bro. You win $2 million for winning FA Cup. You win an extra $2.2 million for every place you finish in the APL. So then screw FA Cup. But it's a title.
It is a title, yeah.
You know, at the end of the season, you don't lift a bag of money for finishing in 14.
That's how I would change that right now.
Bro, Gareth Bale probably did at the end of his retirement. So I get that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about João Felix already, Joe Whitlock.
Justin Friedberg said the Cooligans and the Fooligans going to get together in Orlando. The Fooligans are Freddie and I. Yeah, that's right. We are going to be shout out Justin and Freddie.
Yes. Just by the way, Freddie sent me some of the best beer. He sent me.
Actually, it's here.
Okay. He sent me one. It was a Mexican beer called No Mames. And it is incredible.
I havenven't had any of them because this is a strictly Coors Light household, you know.
Right. So we're gonna today. Look, sorry for the gift, but we're gonna put that in the sink because we are a Coors Light.
Okay, we've drawn our line in the sand.
Yeah.
But no, we are gonna be in Orlando, January 21st and 22nd for the NBC Premier League Fan Fest, along with the homies. Rebecca Lowe, the two Robbies, Tim Howard. We are going to be the MCs.
We got to give them all nicknames. Timmy H.
Timmy H. Okay.
Right? Double Rob. Rob.
I think, yeah, we'll test them out when we're there.
And Rebecca Lowe, Reina.
Okay. So we're going to be there. If you are going to be in Orlando or you live in the area in Florida, come through.
People want us to check the envelope on the show.
Check the envelope that he sent. Get it. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's just like some leaflet type of thing. So January 21st and 22nd, Premier League Fan Fest. We're going to be the MCs. Come to Orlando. You can register on our Twitter account, @SoccerCooligans. It's our pinned tweet. The link, the registration link is right there. So go check it out.
It says, I have your child in it. No. actually, this was somebody had put something on our door. He just gave us that, which is from Amazon. It says, redeem a free gift card by sharing your Amazon product experience about the fridge. And you know what's crazy? You put this on top of the fridge.
What a... Oh, right.
That's wild, dude.
Look at that. Shout out to the Spectrum guy.
You get a $20 gift card for leaving a review?
Okay.
That sounds illegal. I'm ready to do it, bro.
Free money. All right. Well, let's wrap here. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We always appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow again, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe to our Clips channel as well. And leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Yes. We're doing it.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
That's right, everybody. Peace.
Hey, if you're still watching the show, leave in the comments what the nickname we should give to Rebecca Lowe, the two Robbies, and Tim Howard should be. Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.